thank you for tuning in and listening to this week's message of hope on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love. This week, our senior pastor, Dave Yonker, has a fall standalone sermon with scripture from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29, titled At the Table. Stay tuned after the message for special music and to learn more about First Christian Church of Burlington.
Here in this quiet place, in the midst of this holy sanctuary, we offer our hearts and minds now to God in prayer. So may we be in a spirit of prayer together. Your love and grace are all sufficient, O loving God, for all the world's deep needs. You love us all. You have created us, and even more so, you have called us very good. You answer us when it's time, and you hear us every day. You are bigger than we can ever even imagine, yet small enough that you meet us here in this sanctuary. And so we pray, O God, that you might open our minds and hearts this day to receive with gratitude the gifts you have given us. Gratitude enough to be compelled to live as your witnesses, instruments of your grace and peace for our world. Empower us, O God, to live as your faithful witnesses, giving testimony of how great is your love for every single one of us. O God of mercy, you have called us to live in communion with all those of you in your created world. And so we pray that you might give us a new appreciation for the diversity of your creation and for all the people of our world whom you love with an everlasting love. Help us to serve the needs of all those who are suffering, the sick and the lonely, those broken down by the struggles of life. Help us to serve with compassion and joy as true servants of Jesus Christ. Give us the grace to work with passion for the unity of your church, especially on this World Communion Sunday, to take our place among the world's peoples without expectation of reward beyond the smile of your approval. May our life and work and ministries be anchored in your love for peace and justice, and may all who serve may be encouraged by the promise of Christ's presence with us. Make us a more obedient people, O God, gladly giving what we have received from your faithful hand. And so here in the midst of worship, we pray that you might hear our prayers, O Lord. Be with those that our lives are closely linked with. We remember those in our church family and friends. We remember those that we share life with at home and at work. We especially remember those needs that we entrust to you now in the silence of this space. Grant, O loving God, that we might grow in grace and peace and love every single day. Take us by the hand. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might lead lives worthy of the calling to which we have been called through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now we ask that you might hear us as we pray that prayer that Jesus first taught his disciples by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
My dad was one of five kids born and raised in the western suburbs of St. Louis. Along with his family, both sets of his grandparents lived there in the city with their whole family. And so growing up in the 1950s and 60s in St. Louis, they lived in an old brownstone house just down the block from the old big Forest Park. And so in that house, in that brownstone, lived my dad, his four brothers and sisters, his mom and dad, and for a while, his grandmother, my great-grandmother. They lived all in one house together with no air conditioning, one bathroom, and they survived to talk about it and to be alive today, all of them packed in one big house. And so it was in these growing up years that my dad told a story about our family. He said that his grandmother was an amazing cook. He remembers the smell of her homemade rolls baking in the oven in the second floor flat of their house there in the city. He remembers walking to their house after church for Sunday dinner, walking up those long flights of stairs, following the smells wafting from the kitchen. And when they arrived, there was fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy and green beans and a homemade apple pie, apple butter with rolls right out of the oven, smelling and tasting like heaven. You can almost smell what it was like to be in that house in the 1950s. It's the kind of food that was so good that once you eat it, you need a big old, like, 3-hour nap after you get done. It is so good and so wonderful. My dad's grandmother, my great-grandmother, was an amazing cook, my family has always said. But my dad remembers that his mother, my grandmother, was a different story. She died in 1999 when she was over 90 years old, and so she's not around anymore to defend herself. But in the story of her life, we would always mention that she would always laugh and agree that cooking was not really her thing. She was interested in and did all kinds of other things in life. When she was in high school, she was on the debate team. She loved to read. She always had her nose in some kind of book. And I remember as her grandson going to the library with her to pick out books whenever we would stay for a few days. After high school, our family remembers that she got a job at Woolworth, the old five and dime store. And then when five kids came into the world, when she was not changing diapers or doing laundry, she was making pajamas from scratch or leading Cub Scout meetings or Girl Scout meetings, teaching Sunday school or volunteering in the church office. For her church, the old Hamilton Avenue Christian Church was always calling her. The church has a way of always calling you and asking you to do things, most of which you agree to, some of which happily you agree to do. And so the pastor and the nominating committee was always calling. Dorothy, we need a new financial secretary. Will you serve? We need someone to be treasurer of the church board. Someone needs to teach Sunday school. And she said yes. Very often she said yes. And if that wasn't bad enough, the women in the CWF women's group called and wanted her to be president, wanted her to lead all kinds of lessons, working with other churches in different congregations and places. And she said yes. She was the kind of person that pastors like me love to call, because when you were in a pinch, she would be more than happy to serve and say yes. Because of this, my dad remembers that she didn't have a whole lot of time spent to be looking up exotic recipes to be used in the kitchen. My grandfather, her husband, worked for the railroad out of Union Station in downtown St. Louis, and so he was gone all the time, and she was at home with five kids by herself. And so in my family, we remember that in the kitchen, lots of days, it was just the basics. Ham, meatloaf, canned green beans, Sara Lee frozen pie for dessert. She was not an all-star cook. She would not have been a foodie taking selfies with her food, watching Food Network and Cooking Channel, following all kinds of celebrity chefs. But in our family, we remember that she got the job done. My family remembers one thing about her cooking. In her kitchen and dining room, there was always room at the table for the family and whoever might show up around supper time. For every once in a while would come friends from down the street, kids from youth group at church, friends from school, boys tagging along with my aunts. One Thanksgiving when my aunt was in graduate school in Nashville, Tennessee, she brought home with her for Thanksgiving a girl from Turkey and a girl from Chile, and they joined the family. Another year when my dad was in seminary down in Texas, he called up his mom and dad and he said, "There are eight of us driving to a meeting in Indianapolis and we're going to come for supper. And so can you have dinner ready?" And there was a huge pile of spaghetti on the table and was gone in seconds. She was as generous as can be. For I remember she taking me and my brother to Dairy Queen for ice cream one time whenever we were staying at her house for a week without my parents. And she let us get the biggest blizzard you can think of or even imagine. And she even let me have inside of the blizzard Nerds candy, which if you haven't had Nerds before is pure 100% sugar. And it was all mixed in, and it was huge, and it took me 3 days to eat this extra large Nerds Blizzard. But it was great. There was always room at my grandmother's table for family and friends and anyone else who may come off the street. There was always room at the table. And whenever we get together with my family, as my parents were here last week or at Thanksgiving or Christmas or summer family reunions, we always end up telling stories about our family. And so I've been thinking about these old stories this past week as we've been getting ready for World Communion Sunday. For this Sunday is here to remind us how much room there is at the Lord's table and how badly we need to make room at our tables these days. For I don't have to remind you how important the Lord's table is in our church, because you know that we gather at the table every single Sunday morning together. And on those occasions when we have worship on Sunday night or Wednesday night or Thursday night, we have communion even on those days. The table is so important for us. And along with this, I don't have to remind you how divided up and broken down our world is now. I don't have to tell you about all the divisions that we face in our country today. Sometimes we come to church to have a little respite away from the news, away from divisions and anger and hate and pain and bitterness that takes place beyond our church doors. Now, more than ever, our world needs the witness of Jesus Christ, the witness that we heard from the Apostle Paul today. For Paul says, "In Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. Many of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ." And so because of this, there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, no longer male or female, for you are all one together in Jesus Christ. And if you are in Christ, if you are Abraham's offspring, you are heirs according to the promise. We hear this. We have read this before. We experience it every week when we come to the table, because in our church there is no test to pass. There is no card to fill out, no token that has to be accepted. Only the welcome of Jesus Christ and the invitation to follow. Our table is so important, and we have to be reminded that we're called to put it into practice. Because we know how badly we have to break down the barriers around us and heal the wounds of division. How badly we have to make room for each other and be reminded that we are all children of God and brothers and sisters together. A Sunday like World Communion Sunday is set before us to show the world that we are one together, regardless of who we are or where we are from. You see, World Communion Sunday is one of these old school church holidays that was started in those tension-filled times between the two world wars. In 1935, in the midst of the Great Depression, when the world around the people was falling apart, when that one war that was supposed to end all wars actually did not do so, and the people in our country were struggling to put food on their table, Christians of all kinds of denominations got together and said, "We can't heal the world and show the love of Jesus Christ to people who are divided and broken if we ourselves can't witness together. If Christians are arguing and fighting about who is right and who is faithful, if we are going to tell the world the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ," they said, "we have to come together." And so because of this, Presbyterians and Lutherans and disciples and Methodists and Catholics who came on board a little bit later, Christians from all over the place, shapes and sizes, said the best news that we have to give is the love and grace that comes through Jesus Christ. And the welcome that we receive through Christ at his table is the best news that we have to share. And so we proclaim it to the world that we have much more in common than we do that ever divides us up. We have a witness to share and a witness to give, that there is room for us all, for we are all one together in Christ. That is what the gospel proclaims us to do and what this Sunday is all about. I've mentioned before that one of the best preachers I've ever heard in my entire life was this guy by the name of Fred Craddock. You may have heard me mention him about 5,000 times before. But Craddock tells a story of remembering a time when he returned to his hometown in Smallville, Western Tennessee. A small, tiny, kind of out-of-the-way town, to be there with his family. And while he was there, Craddock says that he had the occasion to go and visit his friend's church. His friend was there, and Craddock had not been inside of that church since he was a tiny little kid. He had been gone for years. And so Craddock says when they arrived one evening, the evening sun was shining through the stained glass windows in their sanctuary. And so he asked his friend, "Did you all get new windows? I mean, do you have new windows here in the church?" His friend said, "Yes, aren't they beautiful?" Craddock thought, "They are beautiful." But then he started to wonder how a tiny little church in the middle of nowhere, in like the out-of-the-way Western Tennessee, how they could afford such expensive stained glass windows. But then he walked over the windows and he began to look at the names that were etched and inscribed on the bottom of the windows. You know how some churches have like nameplates at the bottom of people that they were given an honor or even memory of? Craddock went over and looked and he said, "I grew up in this town, but I don't recognize any of these names. I don't know a single soul on these windows." And so he told his friend, he said, "Who are these people?" But his friend said, "Well, there was this church up in St. Louis. They ordered new expensive windows from this company from Italy. But when they arrived to their church, they didn't fit. They were not the right size. And so instead of shipping them back to Italy, the company said, we'll try to sell them. See if any other church wants them. And so they were advertised, and so we bought them, and now here they are in Western Tennessee." And so Craddock said, aren't you going to change out the nameplates? I mean, we don't know these people. You don't know these people. And so his friend said, well, we talked about it at the board meeting 1 week, and we decided to go ahead and leave the names in. We're going to leave them here. Why, Craddock said, would you do this? But his friend said, it's good for the church to know that there are a lot of saints in God's kingdom that we don't know. That there are all kinds of saints around us in the kingdom of God, and we don't know their names. We have never met before. We don't recognize their face. But the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaims that there is room for us all at the table. Me and you and everyone else, and all the divisions and all the barriers and all the stereotypes, all the things that we disagree about in our world, all those things fall away because we are children of God together. Because at the table, there is room for us all. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a new church home or searching for something beyond yourself, we hope you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We offer two styles of worship each Sunday. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m., featuring beloved hymns of the faith. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 a.m. and is led by our amazing band. In both services, you'll hear a sermon similar to the one you listened to today on the radio. Be welcomed at the Lord's table for communion and join with us in prayer and praise. During the summer, children's church is offered at our 10:45 service. There's no better way to begin our week in worship, so we hope you will join us here at First Christian Church.
Yeah. Thank you.